Hey guys, we're coming at you today with another episode of Dadography Podcast. However, before you listen to the show, I want to give you a heads up. There are a few technical difficulties, but we interviewed this guest like two or three times trying to get it right. I think the content is spot on. I think you'll be encouraged, but be aware there are a few sound glitches. It's not your device. Enjoy the show, guys.
This is Dadography, a podcast with stories and insights on fatherhood from dads around the globe, dedicated to providing you with the tools and tips to become a better dad. I'm your host, Corey Wood.
Hey, everybody. Welcome once again to the Dadography Podcast, where we converse with dads from around the world in an ongoing campaign to become better dads. And you've heard me say time and time again that I think one of the greatest possible means to change the world and affect the world is not going to come through political systems. It's not going to come through lawmaking bodies. Believe it or not, my personal belief is that fathers can single-handedly change the world. And today we have a guest who happens to be a close friend of mine who is also the very first jiu-jitsu teacher I had who made it all kind of make sense to me. And so I want to formally introduce Pedro Mora. Pedro, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Thank you. Glad. Very, very happy to be here. And all good. All good.
That's great. That's great. Well, as I mentioned, man, you know, we talk with dads from around the world. I know you're from Panama in Central America. Yeah. And the goal is to really just try to tease out tips and insights so that dads that hear the show can maybe take some of those tips or some of those insights and apply them to their own fatherhood template and hopefully continue to affect the world one child at a time through fathers playing the role that they're supposed to have, man. So let's jump right into it, man. Tell me a little bit about you.
Born and raised in Panama City. I'm 36 years old. I got two kids, Pedrito and Aleko. Pedrito is 4 and Aleko is 2. I work in cybersecurity, and when I'm not working, I'm trying to keep myself active, you know, jiu-jitsu, kettlebells, yoga, you name it, just keeping myself active and making sure that taking good care of myself is also key for to be there for my kids, for my children.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you a question. And this is kind of, you know, deviating just a little bit, but, you know, you mentioned staying active. Does that play a role? And do you think to any degree of the type of father that you presently are, you know, being active?
Yeah, and stuff like that? Definitely. Definitely. Because keeping myself active, keeping myself fit, keeping myself, it's not just good for my frame of mind, it's also mm-hmm. it's also good for my energy. I work at a desk job, so if I'm like 8 hours sitting down, like after 5 p.m. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah,
you know, so if I get myself active, you know, 5 p.m. I just go out to the park with the kids, and we can stay 2-3 hours playing, doing whatever, and I'm gonna, you know, gonna be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. That, like, do you think that because you're active, it has a positive yeah. impact in terms of, you know, being active with your kids and doing yeah. stuff with them?
Definitely. I will definitely find a correlation between those two things on keeping myself active and physically fit. Because kids are demanding, you know, like of your time,
yeah.
of your energy too. So having high levels of energy, it's key.
So I tend to think that, you know, man, I gotta stop quoting this guy, but the quote was so good, Pedro. So I had a guest on the show, and he said, "Listen," he said, "whether you had an awesome dad or a terrible dad, you have the perfect blueprint for fatherhood." And he says, "Because if your dad was great, you know exactly what to do. And if you had a horrible dad, then you know exactly what not to do. And I was like, but I know I've quoted the guy like 8 times on 8 different episodes, but it's just, for me, it's like just that true. And usually when I start conversing with fathers, man, I make it a point to say, well, tell me a little bit about your dad so I can see what some of the spillovers are or what some of the things that, you know, the person shied away from their own bad experience. And I'd like to know a little bit about him, Pedro, and your experience in growing up with him. And what are some of the things that you remember about your dad in childhood?
Yeah, sure. My dad, he's great. Like, he's a great dad. And he's the second son of two Colombian immigrants that started calling Panama their home. My grandfather, his dad, orphaned since age six due to the Spanish flu. Yeah, the Spanish flu pandemic back in 1918. He became a baker, and he heard that there was some money being made in here in the Panama Canal Zone, and he decided to come here to showcase his skills. His idea was to, you know, make a couple bucks. And return to Colombia. But in 1948, there was an armed insurrection in Bogota, where they lived, called El Bogotazo. Yeah, really crazy stuff. There were riots everywhere in Colombia, and even a guy got lynched because of the killing of a political leader. So my grandpa looked my grandma up, and my uncle, that was already born over there, and they came to Panama. They decided to settle over here. And my dad was the first to be born here. My dad, he's very calm, outspoken. He started working at the bakery with my grandpa since early age, so he values hard work a lot. And also he had the opportunity to go overseas to study. Mm. So, yeah, he knows a lot of the world and has experienced other cultures. And I think because of that, he has always thought us that you will always have something to learn from someone else. And everybody that you know is your teacher in something. And to quote your friend from the podcast, it's true. People can teach you what to do and what not to do. And you can use your life experience as something that will hold you back or as something that will push you forward. And it's entirely up to you. And speaking on the track of my dad, he always says that life is not problems, but solutions.
You know, Pedro, listen to you talk, man. I've never met your dad before, but I almost feel like I'm sitting in the room talking to him. I mean, that's wisdom, bro. That's life experience. And that's not to say that you don't have wisdom or you don't have life experience, but it's so solid. And obviously you're responding in the context of that question. So it paints a picture for me of the type of dad that he's been and is, I'm sure, even to this day.
Yeah, he also values like education a lot. He has been teaching economics for years. My mom is also a teacher. He always talks about, you know, continuous improvement, growth through education and learning. And that's how he got ahead, through education and making sure that the things that you learn, no one can take them out from you, right? And that's basically my dad, outspoken, patient, you know, loving guy, really, really cool guy.
So what would you say was like perhaps the number one attribute that your dad has as a father? Like
patience. Yeah, I think patience. And he's like a mix of someone that speaks his mind, but also he doesn't like, you know, talks you over, or he waits until you finish whatever you have to say, and then he goes with his part. And sometimes my brother and sister, sometimes we didn't let him talk. And some other dad, like
as some kids do, right?
yeah. But some other dad will say, "Hey, just shut up, I'm talking," right? And that way of being for him helped us being outspoken, you know, as sure of ourselves, very like emotional, you know, intelligent, savvy, you know, good emotional intelligence IQ because of that patience that he had with us growing up, and allowing us to speak our minds. That's something that I always appreciate of him, for sure.
Mm. So with the way that your father was with you, what are some of the attributes, characteristics that as you're fathering, you know, your boys now, you kind of, you know, you see glimpses mm-hmm. of your dad. You're like, yeah. Oh.
Allowing them to speak their mind and speak up, it's one.
Okay, that same patience. Yeah, cool.
Same patience. Let them be. Let them talk. Of course, with respect, right? Without losing the respect, but allowing themselves to express themselves. I think it's something that I'm doing. I'm doing the same thing, basically. And something else is, you know, trying to teach them from a very early age the values of hard work and mm-hmm. and respect of other people.
Okay. So in your own words, how important is fatherhood?
Well, fatherhood, I think it's the most important job you have, you know, period. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're with your partner or not. It doesn't matter if your partner is giving you a hard time, or if you're not with that person, or if in whatever situation you're in fathering a kid is something that you have as a job. Your first job is to be a dad, and everything else will follow. And we get confused because we say we want to do our best for our kids, but we put extra hours at work, set up times in the agenda, see friends, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes you don't make time for the kids. And that's weird because your first job is to be a dad. That everything else, like work, like your pay job, friend, mm-hmm. everything else will follow if you do that right.
Yeah. You know, I read a book, Pedro. It was, I guess it's been maybe 3-4 years ago now, but it's called The Power of Moments. And, you know, his basic thesis is that, you know, think about the most memorable time in your life, right? And 9 times out of 10, that moment was planned. Even though everybody can appreciate spontaneity, like whether it was, you know, getting the job, like you planned that, like you organized your resume, you said, you know, whether if it was the best family gathering ever, like maybe it wasn't you, but like maybe grandma or grandpa planned that. Oh, we're going to have this for the menu. We're going to invite these people over. We're going to put the tables here. We're going to play this kind of music. And so when I think about the power of moments as it relates to fatherhood, I think about how important it is to plan, you know, time with your kids. And I mentioned that because so many dads, you know, have full-time jobs. And, you know, not everybody's financially independent. And so mm-hmm. it's important to say, okay, well, this weekend or on this day, I'm going to take, you know, my son to go see this, you know, this event, or we're going to go to the park and do this thing, to create moments. It's incredibly important.
Yeah. Build systems around that mm-hmm. And create a routine. Like, hey, 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. we go to the park. If it's raining, we go to the social area. On the weekends, we go to see your grandparents. Like things that, so you are not winging it, because things get in the way. Life gets in the way, and if you don't have your priorities set up straight up, mm-hmm. you won't be able to do it. And 10 years will go by, you won't notice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things I know that you do, I know you do martial arts at like 5:30 in the morning. And I don't know if it was a previous interview or just a conversation, but you mentioned that, you know, hey, you're really looking to stay active and take care of your body. And you also got a job, and you're also a father. So you had to fit, like, you know, your, you know, martial arts training into a part of your life where it fit conveniently and doesn't disrupt or interrupt everything. And as we talk about planning, I think that's a perfect example of how, you know, dads that are out there that work. I mean, look, dude, you're not the only one, but just plan, like do what you have to do to get, you know, the time with your kids and be able to live your life in such a way that's satisfying as well.
Make the time. If you really love someone, make the time. Sometimes, you know, you hear people talking like, no, you know, I used to do this, but then after I had the kids, I don't have time. okay, I get it. You know, if the first couple of months are rough, I'm not going to lie. But you have to make the time for the things that you like, for the things that you love. Yeah. And if making the time means waking up at 4:45 to work out, and then at 6:30 you're out, you get to the house, you take them to school, you work until 5, from 5 to 8 you are with them, and at 8 p.m. you're sleeping to wake up at the same and feeling refreshed, then do it, right? You can always make time. When they're at school, you know, you can go to the gym, you can read a book, you can write, you can at your lunch hour, you can do that. It's an hour a day that you have. You can use it. You can leverage it, you know, and not sacrifice the time with the kids for doing, or even not doing what you love because you think your kids are not giving you time, right? Because that's the other part of the equation.
Well, let me ask you this, right? Let me ask you this, Pedro. So earlier you mentioned that, part of your employment is in cybersecurity. So, you know, dealing with the internet, things like that. Mm-hmm. So one of the ongoing conversations with fathers has been, what are some things that we should be taking into consideration as our kids come to internet age, right? Like, you know, the kids now, they're getting tablets fairly young, and then cell phones. I mean, cell phones kids used to get when they were like 14, 15, and that age is dropping a little bit. And, you know, people say, you know, that have pros about that, cons about that. I'm not so much concerned about the pros and cons, just what type of things should a parent be, you know, doing to maybe set governors or, you know.
Oh, cool. I think first of all, kids from 0 to till 12 shouldn't have, in my opinion.
I appreciate you saying it's your opinion, but that's why I'm asking you, because I know that you're involved in cybersecurity. So I want to, you know, we all have opinions, but yours is infinitely more valid than mine, you know?
Yeah, they 0 to 12 shouldn't have a tablet. My father-in-law, he learned how to use a tablet when he was 62. So there's this thinking that, you know, kids, they will stay behind if they don't use it early on. That's not true. You know, it's super intuitive. You know, you have people, very smart people, designing these things, and you know, they can take it at 12, 13, 14, and they will be fine. So kids 0 to 12 should be developing their spatial skills, their social skills, how to interact with other people face to face. I know now pandemic time, it's more difficult, but that kids should be outside, you know, and with these tablets and more screen time, it's a difficult thing to do. So in my opinion, 0 to 12 should have, like, teenage years, you should respect their privacy. Should respect their privacy. Mm-hmm. They should be old enough to know what's the good, the bad, and the ugly. However, you need to keep an open line of communication with them always. I know it's super easy to install these applications that spy on them and whatever, but I'm a privacy advocate too, and every person has a right to privacy, even a minor. Okay. So
do you think it wise to maybe have, because I mean, you're going to respect their right to privacy, right? But then maybe at 12 or 13, there's just certain things you just don't allow in. Do you have, for our fathers that are listening, any type of blocking techniques or network techniques, you know, some software that they could put in their house to say, okay, look, hey, you know, I don't want, you know, these things popping up.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Like, because most of the time, people is like, no, I'm going to install this app that I can monitor every movement. Dude, don't do that. You know, big tech, it's already doing that. don't, you know. So, like, just those parental blockers, yes. I don't have any names because I'm not into that age yet. But I can do some research and give you that so you can put it, like, on the show notes or
That'd be awesome.
That I might recommend, because I know you could do it. Like, there are a couple of things that you can do, though. Like, I know there are some routers that you can set timers on it. So, for example, in your house, internet goes down 9 p.m., internet's out, right?
Right, okay.
And they have the cell phone remains at the living room, locked. They can put their own lock, to make sure that that's not spying on their cell phone or whatever. But making sure that they get their sleep, because something that's happening now is the teenage kids not getting sleep because there's 24/7 constant influx of information, and they keep scrolling screens or talking to their friends or whatever late at night. They don't get enough sleep, so that's another thing to consider, because sleep is important for the development of the brain, right? So those are my takes on. I would definitely set up parental blockers for porn sites and gambling,
right.
All of crazy stuff that's on the internet. I would let them know that those things, they may be exposed through some friends. That's normal, but let them know that those things exist, but in the amount that I can control how they get exposed to that here, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'm not giving you a ticket for the train.
Exactly. So things like that, parental blockers, putting timers at the house, like, hey, internet goes off 9-10 p.m. time to sleep, whatever, and cell phone sleeps in the living room. No cell phones in the room to make sure they get to sleep. So that's what I would recommend. But definitely, like, kids younger than 12, no need to have.
It's we're talking about, but it is a real challenge. Obviously, I speak with dads everywhere.
It's
just a reoccurring theme, and I'm like, wow, this is not something that I found myself struggling with, but when my kids were kind of coming of age, being introduced to devices and internet, it was like, man, I don't know what. And I've had the good fortune of living in some countries and some places that, I guess I don't want to make it sound bad, but I think I've had the good fortune of living in places that just weren't. I've lived in some third world countries, let's say that, right? So, and living in these third world countries, ironically enough, I can spot out a number of differences between kids who grew up in, first world countries, right? Mm-hmm. And so the kids that I saw often in these third world countries, obviously they didn't have devices and things like that, right? Like, we're trying to buy food today, not an iPad, right?
Not an iPad,
yeah. So, but these kids, Pedro, they would like talk to you and you'd be like, this kid is 5. He's like 25. And I mean, just in terms of their intellect, their ability to communicate what they're feeling, asking you questions, you can see that they're learning. So that they're asking you, oh, why did you do that? Or how did you do that? Okay, well, what about this? And I remember when I was in Nicaragua, actually, one of the things that really stood out to me was that it was such a rarity to find a boy over, let's say, 11, who did not know how to do plumbing and electricity and build. And I'm not saying that men all need to know how to do that. That's not what I'm implying. What I'm implying is it was clear that they had been spending time with their dads and their uncles, right? And
learning a craft. Yeah.
Instead of spending that time on their device. Now, I have had some guys advocate to me, and I tend to agree, the benefits of some of those devices, there's educational stuff that they can learn from it. And of course, there is the argument that that's the way the world is going. So in order to be in stride, so I've heard both sides of it, but just my observation is definitely when they don't have that exposure to those, there's something else developing there as opposed to the device developing them.
Yeah, it's how the brain works, man. It's from an evolutionary perspective. I'm not expert on that, but I think we spent a fair amount of time in the savannah, living in groups and being, so now, you know, and even in urban environments, 50, 70, 30, whatever years ago, we need each other. We need each other.
Right.
And kids that don't learn how to socialize correctly. And your brain learns these things in the beginning of your life from 0 to 12, right? We'll have a hard time on the road. And you have another problem of sheep dopamine that it also affects us, you know, the grown-ups. But I think it's also affecting kids more, like the attention span. It's just shortening, and you have to be very, very wary if you want to allow, like, you know, educational purposes. Books give you that too, you know, and they're more engaging. So, yeah, there may be some arguments, but from my perspective, like, you know, it's not needed. Let's put it like my opinion is not that it's harmful, that it's got your kid. Oh no! Now some people were hearing me. The cybersecurity guy said that he's 8 and he has been using tablets since he was 4. Oh no! Don't feel like that. You know, it's fine. But I feel that it's not needed. Like, if you're getting your kid a device because you think he will be left behind, that's not true.
Corey here. Wanting to give you a personal invitation to follow us on Instagram. You can find us at Dadography Podcast. It's really good because you get an opportunity to put a face with the voice that gave you some insight or some encouragement on your journey in fatherhood. We look forward to having you follow us on Instagram at Dadography Podcast.
Well, you know, and kind of alongside that topic there, on the other side of the coin, I should say, you mentioned to me that Pedrito was going to start training jiu-jitsu at some age. I don't know if he was going to start training then or like there's an idea of an age where you're going to. Okay, at 5. Cool. Talk to me a little bit, and not necessarily specifically jiu-jitsu, right? Yes. Like that's the martial arts that we practice. But what about just martial arts in general for fathers that are listening? Do you think that martial arts can bring some benefits to the table? And if so, like what, man?
Definitely martial arts brings benefit to the table. The first one is to learn to lose and to keep at it. Even if you're defeated, you can go back to the saddle and move things forward. We're living in times where that's cool. You get a medal for everything. And I think martial arts, they haven't caught up with that trend. So if you lose, you lose. And that's good because you learn to lose. You learn to, you know.
But that's life, right, Pedro? Yeah, like, you're going to win some, bro, but you're definitely going to lose some.
Lose some. Yeah, exactly. And also their self-esteem, you know, seeing them getting better at something, and it's it's also physical, and also the respect that they learn from their teachers, another figure of authority besides their mom and dad, and their, you know, that's another great point, because, you know, school, they have their, these, you know, teachers, figures of authority, but the sensei, it's another thing, right? And making sure that they know that they are people that know more than them, and they can teach them a lot, and they need to respect those folks. So martial arts are definitely extremely beneficial to kids, getting them exposed to that from an early age. Yeah. Even, you know, as early as 5, but 10, 12, 15, 16, whatever. I started doing jiu-jitsu at 22.
You know, I think, Pedro, that I think there are certain things that are just, in my opinion, again, we're we're not experts, right? But I think there are certain things that are just life skills, right? Like I meet people who are, you know, 35, and I go, hey, dude, let's go to the beach, let's hang out. Like, oh no, I don't swim. I'm like, that's a life skill. You got to know how to swim. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe not if you're from whatever central Iowa in the U.S. or something. Like, there's no war around you, but I don't know. I don't.
There should be lakes around, right?
Yeah, right. But my thought is swimming is a life skill, right? Self-defense, not being able to, you know, go stand on somebody's podium and say, I'm the world champion, but just being able to defend yourself enough. Can you defend yourself enough to get away so that you can run away? You know, like, being able to defend yourself is a life skill, definitely for a male.
You bring home a good point. And another one would be standing up for yourself, you know, having that encouragement to stand up for yourself and others. So that's another great point for martial arts.
You know, aside from martial arts, are there things that you've kind of got in the pipeline that you're looking forward to getting your boys involved in, or, you know?
Yeah, sure. First one that we're doing right now, it's the swimming part. As you that life skill, it's very important. So they're getting involved in that. They're learning to swim. Then jiu-jitsu.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Swimming is awesome, bro, because not only is it a life skill, but there's so much fun to have in the water,
it
right?
Is.
From surfing to paddleboarding to scuba diving to snorkeling to, I mean, you just, it's so much fun.
Exactly. And being, you know, living in Panama, you're surrounded by water.
Yes.
That's a number one. And of course, jiu-jitsu, any martial arts that they like, and music or any type of art. I think that's going to be the next step. Maybe in a couple of years. Getting them involved with, you know, guitar or the drums or the bass or piano.
I think music has a very, and I think I've even heard somebody say that, you know, some of the benefits of learning music can have impact on math and education. But as a person who has literally been in love with the guitar all of my life, and I can barely play, for the person who doesn't know how to play, they can hear me and go, oh, you play guitar, right? But like a musician, this guy sucks, right? But nonetheless, I think even some of the way that I approach problem solving comes from music. Just because of the way, I mean, ultimately, you've got what, 7 notes, bro? And an infinite amount of songs. That's crazy, right? Or 12 notes and then an infinite amount of songs. So I think it helps a person to think. I think it kind of gives a template to think, or contributes to, at least helps them how to think, but it contributes to their thinking process.
Definitely. Yeah. And also like problem solving, making sure that you are, you know what comes next, right? And also working with other people, because it's super fun to know how to play guitar, but it's even cooler if you play it with other people around you, right? And you know where you fit, and you know what do you contribute to the whole. And hearing a guitar, it's not the same as hearing like a complete song, like a complete in a rock band. I mean, right? Or jazz band, or even salsa music, whatever, right? So it's also important for getting to work with other people. Learning how to play and playing with others, it's one of the key things in music. So
with 2 boys, take me through something unexpected, like that you didn't know becoming a dad. Like what was something that you wish you knew beforehand about fatherhood that you know now and that you could probably share with our listeners, man? I know that's a huge question, but just give us some thought. No rush.
No. I think, you know, it's something that I wish I would have known before. Is, I know it was going to take time and energy, but I didn't know how much of it was.
How much time and how much energy.
I think it's going to be your number one thing. And you have to plan your life around that. And, you know, seeing the kids grow, you know, if you used to go to the jiu-jitsu class at 7 p.m. then create one at 5:30 a.m. As a matter of fact, the 5 a.m. class was born out of a necessity of a couple of us. To train at that time, because it didn't exist before, right? So,
which, for the record, I think is the most awesome class ever.
Yes. But I think
I love our academy. I love our academy. I love all of the classes. However, if I had to choose one, which I have, I choose the 5:30 class.
Yeah, no, thank you. But I think yeah. I think it's something that I wish I would have known earlier was that the time to be a good dad or to be a great dad, or at least to my expectations, you know, to be with them to make sure that they're walking down the right path. Also, the second thing is how your career will. Mm-hmm. Will if you want to grow in your if you work for a company, mm-hmm. you have to put in the time, right? You have to put in the effort. You have to put in, and with kids, it's tough because you want to give time for them. So expect also to have at least some slowdown in that growth. If you were used to grow exponentially. It will slow down. You have to make sure that you're okay with that. And if you're not okay with that, then reshuffle your priorities. See, hey, it's okay. What's the most important thing? Bringing food to the table. Mm-hmm. Okay. How much do we have now? Do we have enough? Because I used to say, slavery resides under marble and gold. And sometimes we think we need more. But maybe we don't, we fool ourselves, saying we're doing it for the kids. But are we doing it really for the kids, or are we doing it to satisfy our own ego? So that's another thing that I wish you should have known before fatherhood. And it caught me by surprise, the time and the energy, and thinking like, I'm just gonna just keep hammering at work, but if I want to. Be with at the park with them at 5. Right. I need to close at 4:50, 4:55. No negotiation, right? And there will be things at work that we will be left behind on for the next day. And they will be, you know, here in my field, that it's a technical field, you take a lot of certifications, you study a lot, you try to keep yourself ahead of the curve and these couple of years where they are growing, I have to come to terms with the fact that I might not be getting as much certifications as I used to do before. And it's fine because now it's the time for them. So that's another thing. Yeah.
One of the things for me, one of the things that that I think is important is that, again, my opinion. Is that a dad have a variety of interests? So, like you mentioned, you know, you have your fitness with the kettlebells, you have your martial arts, and you know, you mentioned recently surfing. So that what happens is that you're not limited to this one area. That if you're not able to do that, then your whole life is in shambles. And so that the fathering aspect of your life begins to feel like a weight. Like if for some reason I was unable to do jujitsu for a while, kind of like COVID, right? But then what did I do? I just spent time with the guitar and just work out, you know, and it didn't feel like, oh, my life is over. And I think it with some dads, you know, maybe it's guys that, you know, love golf, right? Like if they can't play golf, then for some reason they feel that fathering is a burden. And so I think a good fix to that is just have multiple things you do. Try to have stuff that you do with your kids, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially as they get older. I mean, I know your boys are young right now, but I mean, when Pedrito is, what, 13, and you guys are, you know, doing tournaments or just rolling at the house, I mean, that's quality time.
That's quality time.
Son, you know? Yeah, that's really – yeah, so – positioning oneself for quality time is key. But for the dads out there that are listening, you know, expecting fathers, right? One of the things that caught Pedro by surprise, in case you missed it, is that the time and energy that it takes to be a father. And I want to encourage you guys. I'm not saying that as something negative. Go ahead and just prepare yourself to make the time. And one of the ways that Pedro has dealt with this is by planning. He plans, okay, this I'm going to the park at this time, so I need to be ready at this time. Mm-hmm. And would you say in the big scheme of things that's been beneficial?
It has, because you know, sometimes emergencies happen. I cannot go to the park because I have a call at 5, right? That I cannot miss. But 5, let's say 5 out of 7, you know, we did it. We went. But if you don't plan ahead, or if you don't include that as part of your routine, you will do 1 out of 7 with luck. Right. So that's the other part. Things will happen, but if you make sure that the routine it's there, the times that you miss, it will be less than the times that you don't miss. And it's the same with everything else you do, like gym, training, practicing the guitar, going to surf, going to whatever. Like it's making sure that you have systems in place and you can rely on when things get tough.
Pedro, so you've got two boys, and I've spoken with fathers, and maybe it's cultural too, but I've spoken with fathers that struggle with physical affection. Like for them, physical affection is just, you know, a fist bump. Other fathers don't mind kissing their boys on the cheek. Other fathers don't mind hugging their boys, looking them in the eyes and saying, I love you. But some men don't do that. And maybe it's in some instances, I think it's generational. Other instances, I think it's like my great grandfather, who was my father figure. He never once in his life told me that he loved me. And as a matter of fact, I remember asking him one time and he was like, boy, if you don't know I love you by now, you'll never know, you know? And that was the closest he ever came. But you know, again, but I mean, he was born in 1920, right? So like, it's
old school.
So I realize it. Yeah. So I know that some things are generational, some things are cultural. So in your home with your boys, how have you dealt with physical affection, man?
Yeah. Now for me, my dad never had this, you know, he always... For me, it's totally normal, like giving physical affection. You know?
Okay.
I'm even like that with my friends, you know. Telling them I love them and kissing them. And with my kids, it's saying like I physical affection, you know, hugging my kids, kissing my kids in the cheek. I'm you know, hugging my friends. You know, it's something that I like to do, and I think it's cool. It's good. Never know when. You never know when you will leave this world, and you could live life right now, and you never told your kid like I love you.
It's that would be so uncool, right? Like with a question mark in their head for the rest.
What
of
What happened?
Life.
Like, didn't I tell them I love them every day? Excellent. Every day, like when I drive them to school, when I before getting to. Putting them to bed every day. Every time I have the chance.
Cool. Well, Pedro, before we bring this thing to a close, man, let me share with you something fairly new since that we've included in the show that wasn't a part of it when you and I initially done the interview, and it's called a time capsule. So here's how it works. Let's assume that 30 years from now. Your boys are, you know, whatever, looking at some archives of podcasts and they heard that you did a podcast. And so, you know, they're living overseas or you're living overseas or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, and so they stumble up on this old podcast called Dadography back in the early 2020s, you know, and hey, it says Pedro Mora. I wonder, and it's Dad. Right. And so. Why don't you go ahead and seal something in time for your boys so that, just feel free. Talk directly to them. And I'll just, we as the guests will just be fighting the walls. But yeah, man.
Sure. Pedrito, Aleko, I'm proud of you. Don't let anyone tell you that you cannot do what you were born to do. And that is to be great at your calling, whatever that is that you guys are doing now. Just be great at that. I hope by this time you have found it. And if not, keep looking because it's never too late. Dad is proud of you no matter what. And I will love you always and forever. You cannot control what happens to you, but you will always be able to control how you react. And like your great grandfather said, Sean humildes y sin ego se avanza. Love you guys.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Drop the mic, Pedro, for sure. Well, guys, you heard what your dad had to say to you. I'm certain that you can appreciate that. And I'm sure there's been a lifetime so far of him giving you the same message. And so, Pedro, thank you for coming on to the show. Thank you for coming on to the show again.
That's cool. It's a great thing that you're doing here, man. So thanks for having me here. It's awesome.
Excellent, man. Everybody, I want to say thanks again for listening to another episode of the Dadography Podcast. Be sure to tune in with us weekly as we look to grow as fathers on a single-handed campaign to change the world by just becoming better dads. You know, we're not joining some political party. We're not swaying and trying to convince you that if we can get this one law passed and it's going to make the world a better. No. We'll leave that to those guys. All we're saying is do your part as a father. That's it. One child at a time. Thanks, guys.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Dadography Podcast. Thanks very much for listening. I would, however, like to invite you to be a part of the show. Visit our website at dadography.net. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. Click on the microphone. Tell us your name, where you're from, and what fatherhood means to you. Remember, it takes more than DNA to be a dad.